Please stand by. Good day, everyone, and welcome to the IBM Chat with the Labs conference call. Today's call is being recorded. You should have received the charts for today's call. If you did not receive them, please email Linda Spina at lspina@us.ibm.com. That's lspina@us.ibm.com. At this time, I would like to turn the call over to the Senior Development Manager, IDS, Ms. Kathy Kennedy. Please go ahead, ma'am.
Thank you. Good morning. I'm Kathy Kennedy, and for those of you who don't know me, I joined Informix in 1986, and during my tenure, I've held a variety of positions, all within the development lab, including managing our information development team, our project managers, our quality assurance organization, and now most recently, our development team. So I thank you for the opportunity to do this introduction today. I'd like to kick off today's Chat with the Lab session by welcoming all of you to the call. I'd also like to remind you that there's still time for you to register for the IBM Information Management Conference that's being held in Orlando, Florida next week, September 12th through the 16th. If you haven't already registered, you can go out to www.ibm.com/informix and click on the link to the conference. In addition to the week of sessions, there's also a day of free tutorials for all Informix attendees on Sunday the 11th. And if you're unable to attend the entire week, your schedule just doesn't allow you to take off for the entire week, there is a special 3-day prize which includes the tutorial sessions on Sunday. So we hope to see you all there. Today we've got a very exciting topic on the agenda, which is IDS and WebSphere MQ integration. This functionality became available in our 10.0 UC3 release of IDS, which has been GA'd for about a month now. There's nothing special you need to do to enable the functionality. It's available when you install IDS. To tell you all about it, I'm happy to introduce our featured speaker today, Keshava Murthy. Keshava is the architect for IDS's SQL and extensibility component. He's been working on the product for over 8 years now and has designed and developed features in a variety of the components, including SQL, distributed queries, MQ integration, and extensibility. He's currently leading the development of new SQL and autonomic features for IDS. So with no further ado, Keshava, it's all yours.
Thank you, Kathy. Welcome, everyone, to the talk. And let's get started with slide 2. The agenda for today's talk is I'll briefly talk about what is WebSphere MQ, what does that product offer you. I won't be going in detail about the WebSphere MQ product itself. If you are interested, you can obviously go to IBM.com website, and there are articles and tutorials and more classes. You can learn a lot about MQ there, but I'll briefly introduce you to MQ. And the main focus of the talk would be what we have actually done to make it easier for applications to develop, to applications to interact between IDS and MQ. So if you are in a heterogeneous environment and use IDS as one of the database backends, and also have to deal with MQ, what have we done to make your life easier and make application development easier? And I'll describe what all the functionalities that we have provided, and then I'll also describe how we have integrated this functionality into the transaction management capability of IDS. So that again will improve the productivity of your application development and ease of use of both IDS and MQ. And I'll mention what the platforms that we support right now, and then we can have a Q&A session. Slide 3, please. So as many of you may know, WebSphere MQ is the market leader in messaging middleware. It provides flexible messaging infrastructure. It allows distributed applications running in heterogeneous application environment to asynchronously communicate with each other. That means when you have information in your application and you want to communicate that information to another application running on in the same system or a separate system, you don't have to establish a direct communication channel to that application to exchange information. In an environment where you could have a single application communicating with multiple applications, it becomes increasingly difficult to manage the connections and manage the timing and the resources, etc., to exchange information in a synchronous fashion. So what MQ provides is a repository, so everyone can use the central repository to send in the information to MQ, and MQ provides this basic set of messaging services. You can, via what are known as queues, so you can send your information to the queues, and MQ assures reliability of the message you have sent to MQ. It assures once only message delivery for the normal messages. It also has publish and subscribe features wherein you can create a topic and your application can send in a message and multiple subscribers can receive the messages from there. So we'll talk about what we have provided in IDS to make sure you can exploit the MQ functionality directly within your application. What we have, that's the basic infrastructure for WebSphere MQ. And in the graphic I've given, it simply shows WebSphere MQ on AAX, but WebSphere MQ is also available over on other platforms. In fact, it supports over 35 platforms. This is for version 5.3. Earlier this year, MQ released version 6.0. It not only expanded platforms, it also enabled development on 64-bit platforms. So you can have 64-bit applications using and interacting with MQ directly. And MQ is interoperable with most of the middleware out there, so it's available on Unix systems, Windows, ZOS platforms, and it's supported by most of the software products in the IBM software stack. Slide four, please. So let's look at a scenario wherein an application has to exchange information between IDS and WebSphere MQ right now. Application basically has to manage three separate connections. One connection to the Informix dynamic server, another connection to WebSphere MQ, and if you want the interaction, that means the data exchange, to be transactionally protected, you also have to use a transaction manager. So there are three separate connections to manage, and any data that you want to send from the database server to MQ or WebSphere MQ to IDS has to be routed through the application. That adds significant overhead on the application itself, application and the network bandwidth, depending on how much data that you want to exchange. Another layer which adds overhead is the transaction management. That means application has to use this transaction manager and use WebSphere MQ and IDS as resource managers for the global transaction for the data exchange. On top of all this, application developers have to develop custom code to retrieve messages from WebSphere MQ queues and put the information across to IDS tables. So this code has to be customized for each time you want to develop an application, and that's again another overhead and drawback in the current scenario. Obviously, there are drivers for each component. That means you have to have a application has to load the driver for a WebSphere MQ, the transaction manager, and IDS. So there are three separate drivers to maintain for the three types of connections that you're dealing with. So we think this is an overhead that we can solve. So that's what we have tried to do in the feature that we have provided with 10.0 UC3. So slide 5, please. What we have done is provide SQL callable functions that directly exchange data between IDS and WebSphere MQ. In the first bullet point, you can see an example of such function. In the insert statement, the values clause invokes a function called MQRead. And we pass in a parameter MQService. So we'll talk about the parameters later, but what MQRead does is to read a single message from a specified queue on WebSphere MQ. And in this statement, we are taking that message and inserting into a local table. It's as simple as that once you've configured your server to interact with the WebSphere MQ. All you have to do is issue SQL statements, and you can invoke these MQ functions just like any other function within your SQL. There's a second example where you're actually sending the data from IDS to MQ. The SQL is sending the message to a service known as UService, and obviously you can use the flexibility and functionality of SQL to send the information. Here you're basically reading the order and the address for the customer number 12345 and just concatenating all the information and sending it to the queue pointed by UService. We'll talk more about what functions that we provide and how to use it, but this is an example of how simple it becomes for your applications to exchange information between IDS and WebSphere MQ. The functionality is available when you install IDS. That means the IDS portion of these functions is definitely available. Obviously, when you want to interact with MQ, you have to install MQ that manages the queue, etc. The installation requirements for MQ comes with MQ products. I won't be going in depth into it. So this functionality, as I said, comes with the IDS you have installed. You have to register this component into each of your database using Blade Manager. Once you do that, all the functions become SQL callable. And the complete IDS and MQ interaction is transactionally protected. What that means is you can use the existing IDS semantics, IDS transaction semantics that you're already familiar with, and apply that to MQ interaction. So take this insert statement above, for example. Any insert statement that's issued outside of a begin and commit work will implicitly start a new transaction. So let's say we read instead of MQ read here, we issue MQ receive. Well, maybe I'll have to take another example, but we'll expand on that theme later. But the idea is every IDS and MQ interaction is transactionally protected. So there are more slides later on in the presentation. So I'll go in depth into what we mean by transactional protection. And for this feature and as a general purpose transaction manager, IDS now provides support for XDA compliant resource manager. That means in the context of IDS transaction, MQ is a resource manager. For those who are familiar with XDA standard, these terms are familiar. That means resource managers just manage data, transaction managers manages the transaction. IDS happens to have a transaction manager and resource manager. IDS also manages data along with the transaction. That means whenever you issue MQ, MQ functions within your SQL, whether the transaction is started implicitly or explicitly by begin work, IDS manages this, resource manages by conforming to XDA standard. This is a new feature that we have implemented in 10.0 UC3, and this is also available, this is also exposed out to third-party vendors if they want to add in a new data source like MQ. And this feature is available starting with 10.0 UC3. Okay, let's move on to slide 6. So compare the scenario in slide 6 with what we have in slide 4. In slide 4, an application has to open 3 connections and manage all the interaction between 3 sources, basically. What has happened here in slide 6 is an application now simply has to manage one single connection to IDS. It simplifies the connection management by a great deal, and application does not have to deal with low-level either C or Java interface provided by MQ and deal with all the options, etc. All the interaction is managed by IDS. Transaction again is managed by IDS. Application simply has to issue SQL, and everything happens in the background automatically. You can use these MQ functions in conjunction with rest of the SQL functionality and rest of the IDS scalability that you're already familiar with and love. And you can use these functions in all contexts, all SQL. You can use it inside the triggers for you to notify a heterogeneous application whenever there's a event in a database, in a table that you're interested in. Data transfer will happen seamlessly. So basically all this will reduce the overhead on the application. Application will obviously run faster. Application will become thinner, so it makes the application management much easier. Okay, let's consider another scenario in slide 7. So, as I mentioned at the start of the talk, WebSQL MQ can or does support interaction with heterogeneous distributed application environment. So there can be multiple clients connecting to EpsilonMQ, sending and receiving messages from MQ. So this is just another example of how MQ is being used by IDS and DB2 on ZOS, and applications can directly connect to MQ, and even with the new MQ functions in IDS, I mean, your old applications, if you have already written applications to interact between IDS and MQ, they'll still work, but your modified or new applications can exploit the functionality in IDS to exchange information between heterogeneous applications through MQ, of course. So this is just another scenario for you to consider. Okay, before going into how this feature can be used, etc., I just want to briefly touch upon how we have actually implemented this feature in IDS. So please turn over to slide 8. So MQ functions use a MQ provided interface, programmable interface called MQI. It stands for MQ interface. So using that, we have implemented a number of send, receive, publish, subscribe functions that are made SQL callable. So the MQI library and these MQ functions are actually loaded into one of the virtual processors of IDS, and these functions MQ read, MQ send, receive, etc., these are mapped to this. When you call this MQ functions, we eventually make use of the functionality provided by this MQI interface to interact with MQ. The MQ function itself is a synchronous operation. That means when you send, the virtual processor actually makes sure the message is sent across before returning to you, so you are assured that the message is actually sent across. Obviously, this is within the context of a transaction, so that is a good gateway for us to talk about how we have integrated this with the IDS transaction manager. So IDS transaction manager managed any change to the data that happened within IDS instance. It also managed a distributed transaction. That means when you have distributed queries between IDS to IDS or IDS to DB2 gateway, Oracle, etc., through gateways, IDS transaction manager is the one which implemented the semantics of transaction manager. So because MQ is another data source and it's not your typical IDS data source, what we have done is to abstract MQ as a resource manager and use XSAPE standard and extend IDS transaction manager to support these new data sources which provide this transactional semantics conforming to XSAPE standard. So what happens is whenever you issue MQ functions or invoke MQ function within your SQL, the data source referred to by MQ registers itself with the IDS transaction manager, and IDS transaction manager will invoke the corresponding routines which handle commit, rollback, prepare, etc. for this MQ data source. This is done only when you invoke MQ functions. So that means for the normal processing of IDS transactions, there is little overhead. So MQ participates in, when MQ participates in IDS transaction manager basically extended itself to coordinate the MQ interaction with your application. Obviously, there can be multiple sessions interacting with the MQ, so those are all handled by the transaction manager and our implementation of MQ. So this is just another scenario for you to consider. On the right-hand side, we have WebSphere MQ installations, and once you install WebSphere MQ, you have to configure a queue manager within the message broker context and create queues and provide permissions, etc. So those are the things, information on how to configure all this is available via WebSphere MQ product suite. So I recommend you go and explore how to configure MQ itself if you aren't already familiar with it. Okay, let's move on to slide 9. So we'll talk about what MQ functions that we have provided. We provide functions to exploit all the functionalities that MQ provides. So you can send a message to a queue, you can receive a message from a queue, you can read a message from a queue. The difference between read and receive is read is a non-destructive operation. So if you can read a message, but the message will still be there in the queue no matter what happens to your transaction. When you receive a message, the message is popped off the queue. Publish and subscribe. So you can create semantics to create a topic in MQ and publish your message to that queue, so there can be multiple subscribers who may be interested in the topic or who are affected by the by what you are actually putting in there, or multiple subscribers need to process your order or request, so they all can get the message from this published queue and implement whatever that you have designed in your application. Just a note, MQ itself does not enforce any formatting, etc. It's just a middleware that will enable you to exchange information, what format you want to send, what's the protocol on implementing your application on reception of a message from MQ. That's left to the application designer, just like how you design your database application. You have to design your application when you have MQ in play. So MQ provides two sets of data types, basically characters data types and block types. So if you have obviously you in your database, you will have data types that are not just character and clob data types. The other data types have to be converted to one of these before you send to MQ. And again, on the reception, you have to convert it back to whatever format that you want. Apart from the MQ functions, we have also provided a facility so you can treat MQ queues as tables. So you'll see an example of those. So you basically define read and receive tables. So depending on what you want on the queue, you can have read tables which will just browse through the queue or receive tables, which actually gets message from the queue and deletes it from the queue. These MQ tables also allow insert operations. That means whenever you insert data into this table, that message will automatically be sent across to MQ, corresponding MQ queue that you have mapped. This operation is immediate and synchronous. That means it's not a delayed replication. It's not a delayed replication operation. So as soon as your statement returns, you know that the message is actually sent across, and as soon as the transaction is completed, you know that message is guaranteed to be there in MQ. Okay, let's see more examples in slide 10. Okay, in the first example, what I've done first is to begin work. I have deliberately used begin work in this example because the two statements that I'm using are execute functions. As some of you may already know, execute function does not implicitly start a new transaction. Other DML statements like insert, update, delete, select, etc. start a transaction implicitly if you have not already started a transaction with begin work. So here I have started a transaction, and the second statement is execute function MQ read IDS sample service, IDS sample policy, and the correlation ID. So let's talk about that. What you're doing now is reading a message from this service called IDS.sample.service using the policy IDS.sample.policy. Service points to a queue within WebSphere MQ. This is the data that's available in a table called MQI service within your database. When you install MQ functions into your database, this table gets created. IDS policy. So the service basically maps into a queue and a queue manager. Policy defines characteristics of this this operation. That means how many times you want to try to get the message, if there's a network problem or an error in the MQI layer, if you're sending the message to MQ, how long should this message remain in the queue. So policy is basically a long list of characteristics for this MQ operation and the message. Correlation ID, you can set up correlation IDs or agree upon correlation IDs between applications so that, okay, even when you're sharing a same queue among multiple applications, you can send your messages to certain applications, and when those applications read from the same queue using this correlation ID, they will only get the messages that match the correlation ID. So this will basically make it easier for you to manage the number of queues that you have to deal with, so you don't have to create multiple queues, etc., or the application can deal with the same queue, and using different correlation ID, it can retrieve the messages that's there that they are interested in depending on the context. So these are all the features and characteristics of MQ, and we have just exposed this for this MQ function, so you can exploit all the functionalities provided by MQ within your SQL invocable functions. And the third statement is execute function MQ receive. So first we just simply read a message. So if the message is, the operation is non-destructive, next we are actually receiving the message. So you can actually pop the message off and and process it. So and you see the commit work statement there. So that means okay, we have actually received the message. Everything is fine with the transaction. Commit work, that means MQ will be notified. MQ can finally remove that message from the queue, and the message will be removed from the queue forever, basically, and the transaction is committed. So what happens if your transaction gets rolled back? So that's the next example. So what we're doing is selecting first 10 messages from this service my order and inserting into order tab table. If the transaction is rolled back, we notify MQ that okay, we received the 10 messages from this queue, but the IDS transaction has rolled back, so it is not delivered to the application reliably. So MQ has to put the 10 messages it popped off back into the queue. So this works for those of you who are familiar with distributed transactions in IDS. This works very similar to the way distributed transactions work. You do any operations on tables of multiple IDS instances, and you roll back, everything is back to the state when you began the transaction. So same thing with MQ. You can receive or send messages to MQ. If your transaction is rolled back, everything is back to the original state. And finally, an example on MQ send. We are actually sending the message from this table. So there's a close parenthesis missing after a new order. Well, okay, at the end of MQ send, the select MQ send, at the end of the line there should have been a parenthesis. So, okay. So let's move to slide 11. So you saw how we use MQ read, receive, and send. So we have new MQ functions which actually map a table into MQ queue. So MQ create VTI read function creates a table. In this example, it creates a table called myReadTable that's mapped to service, pointed to by service here. You can, of course, pass in any service that you have created, and a policy. And it also takes in a parameter that indicates the max message size for this table. Basically, this indicates what's the max length of the column on which you want to send a message. So that message, whenever you insert into that the table, the contents of that message will be sent across to the queue pointed to by the service. Once you create this, obviously you have to execute this function also within begin work and commit work. And you can do all the normal SQL operations from this table. It behaves like one, acts like one. So you can select select from this table. You can insert it into this table. You cannot do update operations on it or delete operations on it. You can only do insert and select. Whenever you select select from it, we read it from the queue. When you insert, we send it across to the queue. So it makes your application development much easier. Okay, so we have the read table. So we have a corresponding receive table. So all the select operations on this read table are non-destructive. Receive table is exactly the same except all the select operations from this table are in fact destructive. That's slide 12. So let's move on to slide 13. So the table that you have created using MQ create VTI read or receive will actually create a table provided in slide 13. So the message length that you have provided as the fourth parameter to this create functions is actually used in creating the LVAR char column for this table. In this example, I have just used the max message size just so that it is illustrative. But the actual syntax would contain the actual number that you have specified in the create function. And for those of you who are familiar with VTI, you'll see that okay, we have an access method called MQ to which we pass in the service name, policy name, and the type of operation that this table has to do. So using that access method, we map the IDS table into the queue. Okay, let's move on to slide 14. We have the list of functions which you can invoke. So we talked about read, receive, send, publish and subscribe earlier. We have unsubscribe if you're not interested in the topic anymore. And I mentioned you can send character and blob data across. So similar to read, you have read blob, which returns a blob, and send blob, which actually sends in a blob column across MQQ. You can enable tracing of MQ operations using MQ trace function. So if there are any debugging issues or you want to track what messages are being sent across, you can use this MQ trace facility. MQ version is 2.2 right now. There's the MQ version of our MQ function implementation, and we talked about MQ create VTI read and VTI receive here. Okay, let's move on to slide 15. This describes what we are actually sending to MQ function. So what parameters are we dealing with here? MQ read takes service name. This service name should be in informix.mqi service table. So the service name can be up to 256 bytes. When you install MQ functions into the database, we create a IDS default service which is mapped into IDS default queue. That queue obviously should be created in MQ separately, so that's to deal with MQ management. The policy name that you specify here should be defined in Informix.mqi policy table in your database. We have already created a default policy. You can use that policy for you can use that policy directly, or just learn about what the parameters inside those in the policy table stands for, so that you can customize it to your need. MQ documentation has details on what exactly these parameters stand for. We also provided the description of those parameters in the MQ documentation that we have provided for IDS 10.0 UC3. We talked about correlation ID earlier, and correlation ID can be up to 24 bytes. Okay, let's move on. I think slide 16 is a repetition of what we already talked about, so we'll skip over to slide 17. So when you install 10.0 UC3, the MQ function library is under Informix DR extend MQ DataBlade 2.0. Install this using the Blade Manager that again comes with IDS into each of your database. Create a MQ VP class in your onconfig. I have specified num equals 1 here as an example. You can have any number of MQ VPs inside your in your configuration. In UC3, we support Solaris, HPUX, AX, and Windows. We are planning to support more platforms in subsequent fix packs and releases. So look for more information in the machine notes and the release notes for those fix packs. But we also want feedback from you regarding your specific platform requirement. So obviously you need MQ server running on the machine where you're running IDS. If you have MQ, let's say if you have an MQ installation on ZOS mainframe or some other machine, you can actually map the queues in your local MQ installation to those queues across the net. So that information again is available with MQ. That's pretty standard thing to do. Okay, let's move on to slide 18. So obviously MQ queue manager and MQ queues need to be configured and created. As I mentioned earlier, MQI queue service, MQI policy, MQI PubSub. Okay, we didn't talk about PubSub. PubSub contains information regarding the parameters for publish and subscribe mechanism. I actually have description of that in one of the slides, so we'll talk about that when we come to that slide. And users need to insert appropriate values for these tables. So you can, I think creating a new service which maps into a queue is pretty straightforward and pretty easy. Creating a policy takes some work because you have to get familiar with all the parameters in there. So it's educational for you to go through all the parameters that we have used in the IDS default policy and see if you want to use a different policy or if you want any change for your application. Okay. So slide 19. Okay, we have the schema for MQI service table here. So the service name that you provide in your MQ function is actually mapped into this queue manager. and queue name. So whenever you provide a service name, the message is actually sent to the queue pointed to by queue name here within this queue manager. We provide this indirection so that you can have this multiple queue manage. I mean, one of the things is otherwise we have to give all these parameters in the MQ function so it becomes messy for your application and MQ function invocation. So your DBA or your application designer can set up this service. So your MQ function has to deal with, oh, I want this kind of service. So it just uses the service, and that maps into the queue manager and queue name and the rest of the functionality, I mean, the rest of the attributes for that service. What's the default format and the character code set for that destination application. Okay, let's move to slide 20. Okay, I think there's a typo or a mistake in the slide 20. The first bullet point should say informix.mqi policy, not mqi service. We talked about mqi service earlier. This is this mqi policy contains long list of attributes for the message that you're going to send using that policy. So take a look at the IDS default policy, and you can customize it, and you can read through the WebSphere MQ manuals to understand what exactly these mean, or how they are interpreted, etc., in the context of MQ. So PubSub table defines the service names and endpoints for publish and subscribe functions. So I have the schema for that in slide 21. So let's go to slide 21. So when you publish into a service, so you provide the PubSub name. So this will act as the this is the equivalent of service name for the MQ publish, MQ subscribe, and MQ unsubscribe functions. So this is actually mapped into a service broker. This service broker should be defined in MQI service table. Same thing with the MQI receiver. So when you publish and publish into a service that's mapped into a queue. When you receive, you subscribe into one of these published services. But when you receive those messages, you don't obviously in IDS it's all. In MQ itself will not notify your application. You have to actually receive the message from MQ queue. That means you receive the message on the queue. So that means in your subscriber service, you can say, I want to receive from this published service. So whenever I get a message on this service, you copy that message into this queue, which is used for your application processing. So this is a one-to-end relationship. So you just publish once, and each subscriber can say, okay, I want to receive this message on this queue, so MQ will manage that and provide this message via the queue that you have specified. So and then you have to say whether this entry in this MQI PubSub is a publisher or a subscriber. Okay, let's move on to slide 22. So, as I mentioned earlier, the whole interaction between IDS and MQ is integrated with IDS Transaction Manager, the standard commit rollback operations are considered for your MPO operations also. So when you roll back, your semantics will remain the same for what you have done with MQQs also. And just so that you're aware, this is available in IDS log databases. Unlogged databases, transactional semantics are not available, and you cannot actually use MQ in unlogged databases. So if you have data that in unlogged databases that you want to copy into, I mean, that you want to send to MQ, you have to import it into log database and then send it across. IDS manages the transaction. That means IDS is the transaction coordinator, implements the two-phase commit protocol within the context of XA transaction management. So MQ gets a the MQ service broker that's participating in the transaction gets notification on all the transactional events. So when IDS when you issue commit, we send a this transaction is, we basically send a XA end message to that, so it knows the transaction is complete now. Then we'll send a prepare for us to get a response back to make sure this transaction is actually, that MQ resource manager is actually ready to commit the transaction. And then depending on what other participants of the transaction say, so we either finally commit or roll back the transaction. And this MQ functions can be used in the same transaction as your distributed queries. So IDS can manage multiple IDS instances participating in the transaction concurrently with MQ. So all your existing features and functionalities can be exploited for MQ. So more distributed resource scenarios there. So as you have seen, the aim of this feature was to make sure the IDS customers can exchange information from IDS to MQ with little effort on the application development side. Once you configure the components, it's pretty straightforward, pretty simple to integrate the MQ functionality into your SQL, into your application, and into your transactions. So your what you already are familiar with IDS will hold good, and you can exploit this functionality for your application development. So that's the end of the talk. Thanks everybody for attending. So please think about questions you want to ask us before I ask us. So now I'll transfer you to the operator, who will have some questions for you. And later on we'll have a Q&A session. So while she's polling you, please think about the questions you want to ask us, and we'll have the Q&A session after that. Operator, can you please take over?
Thank you. At this time, we will conduct a brief electronic survey. After I finish reading the entire question and all the possible responses, please answer by firmly pressing the star key, followed by the number on your touchtone phone that corresponds to your choice. There will be a brief pause between each question to allow everyone a chance to respond. Question 1. If you are currently using any version of IDS version 7, please press star 1. Question 2. If you are currently using a version of IDS 9 earlier than version 9.4, please press star 1 at this time. Question 3. If you are currently using IDS version 9.4, please press star 1. Question 4. When does your company plan to go to version 10.0? If you do not know, press star 1. If it is planned in the next 1 to 6 months, press star 2. In the next 6 to 12 months, press star 3. Or in the next 12 months, press star 4. Question 5. The level of technical detail in this presentation was, if it was about right, press star 1. Not technical enough, press star 2. Or if it was too technical, press star 3. Question 6. Please rate the speakers on the teleconference. If they were excellent, press star 1. For good, press star 2. For fair, press star 3. Or for poor, press star 4. Question 7. Please give an overall rating of the teleconference. For excellent, press star 1. For good, press star 2. For fair, press star 3. Or for poor, press star 4. And for our last question, would you like someone from IBM to contact you regarding IDS version Informix? For yes, press star 1. Or for no, press star 2. And now we will move to your questions. If you do have a question for today, please press star 1 on your touchtone telephone. Also, if you are using a speakerphone, please make sure your mute function is turned off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. Once again, for questions today, please press star 1 at this time, and we'll pause for one moment. And once again, there are no questions in the queue at this time, but if you do have a question, please press star 1 at this time.
So, let me ask a question myself. So one of the things some customers who have tried this ask is, well, okay, what's the performance impact on my IDS transactions if you use MQ? What I would suggest is, okay, you have to consider the overall performance of the application. As you have seen, the number of layers that you have to deal with in the application has reduced significantly. Within IDS transactional context, when you're not using MQ, there is absolutely no overhead on your transaction processing. Even within the same session, we deal with MQ and MQ transaction only in those transactions that MQ functions are invoked. You may invoke MQ functions in 10 or less than 10% of your transactions in a session. Rest of the transactions have no overhead of dealing with MQ. So you can rely on the fact that, okay, your application's transactional performance will continue to be the same, and whenever you have to interact with MQ, there is a bit of price to pay, but if you have to exchange information with MQ, you have to have that overhead somewhere in your application layer. So that's the only effect of it.
Okay. And we do have a question in the queue. We'll go to David J.
Hi, this is Dave. I'm curious, since you had indicated that there's support for character and glob types, specifically how does this MQ interface handle other types, specifically like date and date time between IDF and DB2?
Okay, good question. So before I answer, let me introduce other folks who are joining me in the QA session. I have Sitaram Vemulapalli joining me. He is a co-developer of this MQ functionality in IDS. I also have Christine Normile, who is our product marketing manager for IDS. So I'll restate the question. So the question was, MQ functions support this character and clock types. How do you deal with daytime data types? Since the focus of the of using MQ is to exchange information from one application to another application, remember the destination application may or may not be IDS based. It can even be connecting to MQ directly. So you have to convert your date-time data type into character data type and then send in that character letter, character string basically. And then the destination application can retrieve that character string and convert it back to the back to its native format. And in the message, I mean, obviously the MQ does not enforce any formatting. So if you have sending multiple columns, you have to make sure you design the message with proper delimiters, etc. That's agreeable to all the applications. So you basically have to convert your data types, date, time, date, whatever data type you have into character when you send to MQ, and once you retrieve, you convert it back to your native application.
And one final reminder, if you do have a question today, please press star 1 at this time. And Mr. Murthy, at this time, there are no questions in the queue. I'll turn the conference back over to you for closing remarks.
Okay. Thanks, everyone, for attending. I hope you find this useful. And if you have further questions on its usage or comments on the feature itself or the platforms that you would be interested in or require, please send email to lindaspina, LSPINA at us.ibm.com. And thanks, everyone, for your time. And the next Chat with the Lab session will be on October 5th. That will be given by Anatole Vaishon from AGS. Thanks a lot for calling in today.
And that does conclude today's conference. Have a great day.